So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
The book of Genesis, chapter 39, verses 1 through 6. And we're dealing with the life of Joseph, because everybody needs the favor of God. But we don't just need favor, we need favor that matters, amen? So in Genesis chapter 39, verse number 1, let's read that, if you have that ready for us back there, Craig. Getting it now, all right. Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 through 6. Amen. It says, and now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer, down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and you need to underline that. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. He was a successful slave. Well, that kind of messes with you, don't it? He was sold into slavery, but he was a successful man. See, that just tells me no matter where your status in life, you can still be successful in whatever you do and wherever you're at. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in the sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had, and he put under his authority. Verse number 5 says, and so it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Now we understand that Joseph's life did not look like a life of favor. His daddy favored him, but his brothers hated him. But every time we find Joseph, we find him rising to the top. Every time he would be thrown down, or every time that he would be below, you wouldn't find it long that he would rise to the top. See, when you have the favor of God on you and you recognize who you are, you won't stay on the bottom long, because you know in whom you have believed and you know whose you are. Can you say amen? So we understand. Let's go through the PowerPoints real quickly. I'm not going to look at my notes because I'll begin to preach. The Bible said that Joseph found favor even in the most difficult of times. He was able to make the most of even the worst situations. Can you do that? Even though he was hated by his brothers, he was favored by his father. And sometimes to find favor with those who matter, you will have to sacrifice favor with those who don't. Boy, Pastor, that's ugly. No, no, no. That's just truth. That you can't have favor with everybody, but you don't need favor with everybody. You just need favor with some folk. And you don't. So you got to make sure that if you're going to get to where God wants you, that sometimes you have to sacrifice favor with those that don't matter, so that you can have favor with those who do. Now, there are some people in your life that you will never experience favor with. There are some people you're just not going to do it. Well, what do I do with them, Pastor? Leave them alone. Quit trying. That's right, Pastor. My spouse. No, that's not what I'm talking about. You continue to try with your spouse. But there are some people that you're just not going to be able to do it. Joseph didn't need the favor of his brothers. He needed the favor of his father. He didn't need the favor of Potiphar's servants. He needed the favor of Potiphar. We know the story that Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. He ran and left his clothes. He went bucket naked down the street. And they put him in prison because of what the woman said, even though Potiphar really didn't believe what the woman said. But he said, I got to live with this woman. So how many knows that sometimes you just got to go with it because of the woman? But anyway, let me move on. Joseph But while Joseph was there in prison, the Bible said the Lord was with him, and the warden gave him a charge over everything that was in the prison. See, when you're in the pit, the prison, or the palace, if you will do what God's called you to do and say what God's called you to say and be the person that God's called you to be, then you will rise to the top no matter what situation that you find yourselves in. Favor is more than skill. It goes way beyond luck. It's often undeserved and always unexpected. The problem that we face is we have become a society that feels like that we are entitled. And when you become a place in your life that you feel like you are entitled, then you begin to think that the favor should be on you, and many times it's not. But when you recognize who you are and you recognize who God is, see, I know who I am and I know who I'm not. And so when you begin to understand that, then the favor of God can come on you. What's my next one? It means favor, grace. Favor means favor, grace, acceptance, and goodwill. Come on. Give it to me, baby. God can and will provide favor for you no matter how unfavorable the circumstances may be. Give me my next one. If the Lord is with you, you're automatically in a position of favor. Now, I know I'm rolling, but I got to. He had less than optimum circumstances, yet he still succeeded. If you want to hear this sermon in this entirety, go back to YouTube and watch it from last week. The key, and you need to hear this, the key to the next level is this level. Succeed where you are. Quit looking for your next level. Quit looking for something to come down the street. Succeed where you are, and guess what? It'll lead you to your next level. Success in this level many times give you the opportunity in the next level. Quit looking for what's coming down the street. What's my next one? Successful means that Joseph accomplished his aim and fulfilled his purpose. If God is with you and you are in a hard place, there is always a purpose to be found in the hard place. If you're in a hard place, ask God, what do you want me to learn? Succeed where you are. Now, give me the next one. Something very important to understand is that you must seek to succeed where you are if you ever hope to get to where you're going. The key to the next level is this level. Succeed where you are. What's my next one? All right, here we go. Now, here's where I stopped last week. Let me give you a few keys to finding favor and succeeding where you are. And again, I won't finish it today, but let me give you a couple of them. Number one, understand the necessity of flexibility. Understand the necessity of flexibility. I'm not talking about compromising your morals. I'm not talking about compromising your stance. I'm not talking about compromising even your dream. However, sometimes your greatest ability is flexibility. That you've got to understand what would have happened if Joseph would have took the same stance or the same hard stance when they put him in the prison as he did when they put him in the pit or when they put him in the Potiphar's house. You got to understand that you've got to be flexible. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not break when they are bent. You won't find that in Matthew 5 in the Beatitudes, but that's one I would put in there if the Lord would let me. See, one of the most effective dream killers is inflexibility. In life and in the pursuit of your dream, you have to be willing to bend, not break. You've got to be able to bend and then go ahead and be prepared, because if you're not willing to bend, then go ahead and be prepared, for surely you're going to break. Because some folks are just so rigid in some areas that they're not willing to bend. They become, if you're not careful, the areas in where you're rigid, you may call it discipline, and sometimes we need discipline, but if you're not careful, it will become legalistic in your eyes. People who are inflexible often major on the minors and minor. Well, you're really getting ahead of me. I ain't ready to go there yet, bro. People who are inflexible major on the minors and minor on the majors. People who are inflexible, they make mountains out of molehills and molehills out of mountains. You need to know who you are. You need to know where God is and where he's taking you. People got to understand. They get so caught up in the moment that their own, or they get so caught up in the moment and the ideas of their own and their opinions that they begin to shut everybody else out. Inflexible people lose. Inflexible people lose. Now I got to look back at my notes where I'm at. Inflexible people lose sight of the bigger picture. Inflexible people, they become so narrow-minded that they don't see the bigger picture. You know, you should have, and we deal with it even now, that in our church, as the pastor of this church, when we began to build this church, everybody came to me to tell me what we needed. And every ministry wanted their ministry to be to have the most space, because their ministry is the most important. And it is to them. But as the pastor or as the leader, you got to be able to see the big picture and know what's what. Are you listening to me? And if you're not careful, you'll get so zeroed in that you can't see the bigger picture. The most inflexible people always kill their own dreams. Because this next statement is something that you cannot afford to ignore, because it's such a true revelation of the origin of inflexibility, which is this: inflexibility has its foundation in pride. That you can't veer off of it because you're right, I know I'm right, and there's nothing you can do about it. There used to be a guy that would come to me and he would say, "Pastor, what do you think I ought to do here? Here's what I think I ought to do. And I'm right, I know I'm right, and there's nothing anybody can say." And I thought, well, you just asked me my opinion. But my opinion differs from you. So because you already are right and you know you're right and you won't hear anybody else, then I really don't have much to say. Amen? And listen to me. If you ever come to me and want my advice, but you throw down the God card, what's the God card? Well, the Lord told me. Well, who am I to tell you differently then? If the Lord told you, you don't need me. You don't got the Lord. Now, if you come to me and say, "Do you think this may be God?" I might can help you then. But if you just come to me and say, "The Lord said to do this, what do you think I ought to do?" Well, duh. I think you ought to do whatever God said, because I'm not him. Right? And I wasn't up all night praying about you and for you. Come on. Well, you're supposed to be our pastor. I pray for you, but I don't pray for every one of you every night. Why? Because some of you, I don't know your name. Good preaching, Pastor. People who are inflexible, it's founded in pride. And here's what the Bible says about pride in Proverbs 16:16. Pride goes before destruction. And destruction goes before a fall. Now hear me, boy, I could preach this. I'm going to have to come back and preach this. So pride goes before destruction and destruction before a fall. So before the Lord will let you fall, he'll bring destruction. Before the Lord lets you fall, he'll bring destruction so that you can get out of pride. Good preaching, Pastor. The most inflexible people are filled with excess pride. And those are the most inflexible people. It is, see, the pride and inflexibility is the predecessor to great problems. If you don't have any problems, get proud about it. I've met people who go, "Well, I don't go through the problems of most people." Get ready. Get ready. Because God is not going to let you stay prideful like that unless it's a godly pride. When someone is filled with pride, they see themselves and their opinions as the center of the universe. I was on a cruise one day, and we were up there on the upper deck, and we were laying out, you know, and we were listening to the music, and there was people all around us, and there was this one very obnoxious guy that was there. No, it wasn't me. It was another guy. And he was very obnoxious, and he was just, man, he was, matter of fact, I was really getting aggravated. And you know me, I hold my tongue on everything. And so so it was rising up in me, and my wife kind of patted me on the arm, and she said, "Let it go." She said, "We're on vacation, let it go." I said, "I need to pastor this guy." She goes, he's not your pastor. I said, then I need to beat this guy. I need to beat him down. And she said, let it go. And so I did. And then eventually he got up and left. And one of the guys that was close to us, he looked at me and said, how was it? I said, excuse me? He said, how was it? I go, I'm sorry? How was it being so close to the center of the universe? Because that guy thinks he's the center of the universe. I said, it wasn't very good, I'll be honest with you. About drove me nuts, right? But that's what excessive pride does. We're filled with pride, and we see ourselves and our opinions as the only one that matters. Have you ever talked to somebody, don't point at them, have you ever talked to somebody and they're really not listening to you, they're just waiting for you to shut up so they can say what they want to say? It's not a discussion, it's really a dissertation. They're like, yeah, shut up, let me tell you what the real deal is. See, the one of the solutions of some of your most intense problems is learning to be flexible and adaptable. See, the problem is we have one thing that goes wrong and we wig out and trip out. You know, I do weddings and things, and those the brides and grooms are some of the world's worst. Oh my God, they didn't drop the flower at the right place. It's all right. Nobody's going to remember that. You know, I was doing a big wedding one time, and somebody asked me, they said, Pastor, are you nervous? I go, why? I've been married 20 years. I ain't nervous. You're the one that ought to be nervous, Doc. I know what I got into, but when you say you do, you don't know what you did. I'm good. Being flexible does not mean that you compromise your dream. On the contrary, it means you're doing what it takes to ensure your dream comes into fruition. Now again, that doesn't mean that you compromise, but it means that you are flexible. Does that make sense to you? Imagine where Joseph's world would have wound up if he would not have learned the art of flexibility. Because through each stage of his journey, from the pit to Potiphar's house to prison to the palace, it is obvious that Joseph understood flexibility. He didn't write it. Paul was the one that wrote it. But Paul said, I've learned to be content in whatever phase or whatever place I find myself in. And some folks can't be flexible. Some folks can't be all right where you are. Just because where you are today doesn't mean where you're going to be tomorrow or the next day or next week. You just got to recognize that if God is for me, then nothing in hell can stop me. If I just hold on to God's unchanging hand, he's going to bring me up out of the pit and he's going to take me to where he wants me to be. Can you say amen? See, favor will take you from the pit to the palace, the field to the throne, and set you before as the prince of people. Never undervalue or underestimate flexibility. Because favor comes when we learn to be flexible. Favor comes when we learn to be flexible. Businesses fail, churches close, marriages crumble, relationships are lost because of the culprit of inflexibility. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. Flexibility. When I got married, I was a bachelor. And when I got married, before I got married, I should say, there was not a problem with where I put my clothes. Amen. Before I got married, I had a fouling system. It happened to be in the oven. First time she cut the oven on, burned up half of my important documents. How many know what I'm talking about? Inflexibility. But before I got married, I just went where I wanted to go. Before I got married, I didn't have to take anybody else's opinions in the matter. You know, but my wife, she loves a lot of things on the wall. I like plain. I don't like a lot of things on the wall. So we compromise flexibility. So we compromise and have a lot of stuff on the wall. Amen. So you got to understand what flexibility is. You know, I decided, do I want stuff on the walls or do I want my wife in my house? I'll take her in my house. All right? Hey, some of you men know what I'm talking about. I see Becky over there hugging Tom. Oh. And Tom was like, get off me, woman. Anyway. Don't allow inflexibility to kill your dreams. Because flexible people don't break under pressure. They bend. They bend. Flexible people, glory to God, flexible people bounce back. Honey, I might be down, but I'm not staying there. I'm coming back. I'm coming out. I serve a God. I serve a resilient God. And he made me so that I bend instead of break. Flexible people see their dreams come true. Just ask Joseph. Ask Joseph because he'll tell you what's what. All right, let me give you another one. So I gave you number one. Number two is this. Be motivated by faith rather than imprisoned by fear. We're talking about dreams. We're talking about what God wants to do. We're talking about the favor of God in your life. Be motivated by faith rather than imprisoned by fear. See, here's the problem. Some of the problems is we decide what we want to do and call it a dream and want God to bless it. Well, that's not necessarily what God wants to do. You've got to find out what does God want for my life? What does God want in my life? And then you begin to dream God dreams. And when you begin to dream God dreams, then you can rest assured that he'll come along beside you to help you make it happen. Can you say amen? But fear is one of the most successful dream killers known to man. You know, so people ask the question, and I think it's a dumb question, but it's dumb, but it's still a question. What would you do if you didn't have the fear of failure? Well, that's stupid. I'd jump off this building. If I didn't have a fear of failure, if I didn't have a fear of concrete, if I didn't have a fear of broken bones, I'd jump off and fly. I mean, really, come on. So but what would you do? What would you try to accomplish for God? What is God telling you to do? When you live your life motivated by fear, you'll never see the fulfillment of any big dream. Without question, a great dream will require you to overcome fear. Without question, any dream. You know, some people go, well, you know, did you have any doubt when you got married? I'm a dude. Of course I did. In whatever you do, starting a business, you always have fears. You always have fears. Going to the next level in your education. Going to a new job. There are always fears there. But you've got to overcome those fears if you want to do what God's called you to do. How about this? How about stepping out of a successful job and start pastoring with 18 people? Oh, yeah. That was prestigious. Even when I left Bluntstown to come here, it was still very fearful because I knew the people in Bluntstown liked me. Or if they did, they put up with me. And I wasn't sure what I was going to get when I came here. So that fear, you got to overcome it. About building the building, starting ministries, doing what God's called you to do. How about getting up in front of people and talking and preaching? All of that is part of that fear. Helping people, fulfilling your ministry, serving. It goes on and on and on. But there are several characteristics. If I can take a side road for just a few moments, and I'm only going to get to a point, apparently, I'm only going to get to point number two. If I can take a side note for a moment, there are several characteristics that identify the dreamer who is controlled by fear. Are you ready? Number one is this, the first one. First, fear paralyzes a person in their problem. When you are controlled by fear, you are paralyzed in the problem. I'm not saying you got to know how to get out of the problem, but you're paralyzed in the problem. That you can't see your way around it or under it. It's the worst problem in the history. How many have ever, don't point again, how many have ever talked to somebody and when they go to the doctor, it's the worst that the doctor's ever seen in their life? You know, you can't just have a torn meniscus. No, your meniscus was like severed and it was rolled up like a yo-yo up in your back up somewhere up in here. And it was the worst I've ever seen. And you went to the same doctor, right? You know, you got a headache and it's the worst you've ever seen. Fear paralyzes the person in the problem. People who are imprisoned by fear are usually stuck in their situation and unable to move forward. How many of us have looked at somebody's situation that they thought that you could not get around it? They wasn't able to get through it. They wasn't able to get around it. And you walked up and go, oh, that's simple. Just do this. Because you got a different perspective, which brings me to later on and later on. Fear paralyzes that person in the problem. If you allow yourself to be imprisoned where you are, you'll never get to where God has called you to go. Your dreams require motion. Your dreams require movement. Don't think that God's going to give you a dream and birth a dream in you for you just to sit there and do nothing. You got to do something for God. You got to do what God's asked you to do. You're going to stay in the same spiritual state unless you make motion, unless you do something. You got to move beyond where you are. Could you imagine if Joseph would have been dominated or controlled by fear? Obviously, he overcame fear. Obviously, because each situation he was in, he excelled and he pressed on as high as he could go. He just pressed on. When something would knock him down, he would get back up. And when he would get to this place, he would get knocked down, but he would get back up. You got to have the ability to get back up. And the Bible says that a righteous man falleth seven times, but he gets back up. You got to come to yourself and say, I am not a failure. I am a child of the King. I've been born by the blood of Jesus. He created me and he fearfully and wonderfully made me while I was still in my mother's womb, and I will not give up on what God has placed in my spirit in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Joseph was put in charge of the house of Potiphar, where he started as a slave. He didn't just start there. He had to be faithful where he was. And then God of Potiphar began to see something in him. When he was put in prison, he wound up running the joint. Then given the right opportunity, he finds himself second in command of all of Egypt, answering only to Pharaoh himself. It's important for you not to allow yourself to be paralyzed by fear. Secondly, fear will cause you to become comfortable and accepting of the status quo. That's what fear does. You get comfortable with where you are. Before God, I wished I could be comfortable where I am. It would just save me so much energy. But I can't. Do you know what status quo is? Now, here's what I don't know Latin, but here's what I read. Status quo is Latin for the mess we're in. Yeah, I didn't find anything that says the opposite. I read it in several different places. I read it in a book, then I read it on the internet, and it's on the internet, you know it's got to be true. So fear will cause us to be comfortable in the mess that we're in. And do you know that you can get comfortable in a mess? You can get comfortable in a mess. But God didn't want you to be comfort in your mess. He wanted to turn your mess into a message. When God gives a dream, there's always something powerful and unusual attached to it. You serve, church, a boundless, limitless, infinite God. Why would he give you dreams that are status quo? Now, the status quo might not be the same to you. What do you mean? Some of you may have dreams to have a big house, but some may have dreams just to have a single wide mobile home. Whatever your dream is, don't compare it to somebody else's dream. God gave you the dream. What is your dream? What is your dream? You know, there are some people who have a dream of being the greatest chicken raisers on the planet. I particularly don't have that dream. Right? But whatever that dream is, living the status quo in life, living the status quo means don't rock the boat. Man, I'm one of those who says, turn the sucker over. Don't just rock it, turn it over. Quit waiting for your opportunity to come in and swim out to it. Because listen, when you know how to swim, it doesn't matter how deep it is, swim. It's over your head. Yes, it is. But learn how to swim. Because don't make any changes. Don't attempt anything new. Don't attempt anything different. Don't make any changes. Don't do anything. Who wants to live like that? Not me. Listen, my favorite foods, of course, Snickers. But one of my favorite foods, if you ask me, my favorite food is pizza and steak. But from time to time, I like something a little different. I wouldn't mind trying pizza every day, and if I could do it without gaining all the weight. But I can't do that. See, Joseph was an out-of-the-box thinker. And he was an organizer and a risk taker. And don't think that God's just going to lay it at your feet. Well, but I'm saved. Then thank God. But there's a lot of saved people who are doing nothing for God. A lot of saved people who are doing nothing. Don't let the fear of not doing the right thing cause you to do nothing. But what if I make a mistake? Let me go ahead and help you. You will. That's where grace comes in. Well, what if I fall? Well, you will. But what if you succeed? Don't overreact to failure, because you learn to succeed by failure. Do you know, for those of you who don't know, the vision of our church is a place where you can find focus for living. Because the only reason people fail is because of broken focus. If you keep your focus, even if you fail, you just learn a new way not to do it. Who was it? Edison? Which one? The light bulb. Edison, he tried 10,000 times before he got the light bulb right. But that one time. What if he would have stopped? Don't allow yourself to become comfortable there. Your dream invites you to be so much more. Let me give you the third one and I'm done. The favor of God released in your life is not for you to be average. God doesn't want you to be average. He created you. I mean, look at your neighbor. Just look at them. They're not average. Woo! Hey, listen, just look at them and tell them, you something else. Now, that could mean a plethora of things. But you're not average. There's only two or three of you that look just alike. Like the triplets on the front, on the fourth row up here. I can never get them apart. But you need to understand it. Your success is often wrapped up in failure. Number three is this. Third, fear causes you to resist change. You know, I used to think this, that everybody resists change but leaders. I've reassessed that now. Everybody resists change unless it's their idea. That's the truth. Because I'm a leader and I recognize that I don't like change unless it's my idea. Hallelujah. But the fear of change, the fear causes you to resist it. Change often requires you to step into the unknown. And I like a sure thing. How many knows what I'm talking about? I would gamble if I had a sure thing. But it isn't. The only sure thing is Jesus. Change is a reality that everybody must contend with. Everybody's got to contend with change. I don't care how much you don't want to change, you changing. I've lost 1,000 pounds. And I keep gaining it back. You know, everybody changes. Your hair turns gray. And what don't turn gray turns loose. Your chest sinks to your drawers. You get chest or drawer disease. Dunlap. Belly done lapped over your belt. Come on. We change shapes. We used to be, you know, guys when you were young, you know, used to be a pyramid. Now you're an upside down pyramid. Right? I mean, things just change. And the older I get, the harder it is to keep that shape. Amen. I've done decided that round is a shape, so I'm going to stay with it. It's a little bit easier to do. But change is the reality that everybody's got to contend with. And great dreamers who do great things learn to embrace the seasons of change, because it won't always be like it is today. There's changes coming. Joseph was a grade A, prime time, real deal example of someone who made the most of change. It's obvious that most of the changes that he went through, he didn't like. Who likes living in an atmosphere of stress and hate? Who likes being thrown into the pit? Who likes being sold into slavery? Who enjoys prison? Can anybody say yes? Nobody, normal at least, can say yes to those. Fear of change will kill your dreams. Joseph found success and his dreams came true because he learned not to fear change, but to embrace it. Big dreams requires big change. You can fret over change. You can fear change. And you can even fight change. But one thing you cannot do is stop change. And the God that said, "I change not," is the God who orchestrated change in you and me. So the question you got to ask, decide right now, am I going to refuse to be imprisoned by fear? Am I going to let change keep me in chains? Will I let the fear of change keep me in chains? Paul wrote a letter to his young son of the faith. And in this letter, here's what he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God hath not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." Realize that God never gave you fear. God gives faith. Fear has a source and faith has a source. Which one is feeding you? Fear comes from the enemy. Faith comes from God. Romans 12:3. God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. I love the word measure from the Greek text, because the original language of the New Testament, the word for measure, I think I have this, the word for measure is the Greek word metron. Metron. It means the required measure, what is due, and the perfect portion. God has dealt with every man a perfect portion of faith, a perfect portion for you to do what he's called you to do. You just got to tap into what he's called you to do. Tap into that faith. "Well, Pastor, I don't have faith." Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. You've got to get your faith up so that you can get your dream up and do what God's called you to do. God has given you all the faith that you need to fulfill your dream. I'm trying to find a place to stop. There are times when it seems very intense, that your dream will never come true. Times when you wonder if you have enough faith. Anybody ever done that? I remember building this building. I wondered if I had enough faith. I wondered if I had done the right thing. I mean, questions all throughout my mind. Especially, you know, because especially when you have an older man tell you things like this: "Well, if it's God's will, things will just work out smoothly." Well, I'm not sure how biblical that is. I don't know. Check with Paul, who was shipwrecked and beat with stripes. It didn't work out too smoothly for him. Sometimes you got to violate, take it by force. Hallelujah. Let me put your mind at ease. You do have enough faith, because God has dealt with you a measure of faith. You have all that you need. Listen to me. God has given you all the faith you need to fulfill your dream. You have all you need, and you're going to need all you have. My Lord, somebody hear me. You have all you need, but you're going to need all you have. But can't I have some left over? No. It's like manna. Got to give you a new measure for tomorrow. You're going to need everything that you have today. You're going to need to use it all up probably today if you're planning on fulfilling the dream that God's put in your life. The true favor of God will give you confidence to rise above your fears. There will be times that you have to access all the faith that you have inside. You need to move forward to God, to great dreams in your life. But it's there. You just need to tap into it. You just need to use it. You just need to call on Him, fall on Him, believe on Him. Be motivated by faith rather than imprisoned by fear. You kill the dream killer of fear when you operate in faith. Listen, this even goes on. For me, you may say, well, Pastor, I really don't have a big dream. Well, it's probably because you haven't spent enough time with God. Because if you can fulfill it on your own, it probably is not a God dream. Does your dream scare you? Oh, yeah. But let me break it down to where every one of us probably is. Now, I'm going to be very careful. I'm trying to quit. I can't go this long in the next service. So I'm going to take it out on y'all. I don't wake up every day. I don't fear hell because I'm saved. I just don't. I don't wake up every day going, oh God, I hope I don't go to hell. No, I'm saved. See, and you can have a relationship with God that you ain't got to wake up every day thinking you're going to hell. However, there are still days that I wrestle with, am I doing the right thing today, this week, this month? Well, Pastor, this dream you speak of, I can't say that I really have one. Well, get along with God, let Him birth one. And then even if you don't have one, do you struggle just day to day? Am I doing the right thing this week? Listen, are you raising your kids right? Are you treating your spouse right? Are you serving the Lord? Or are you just relying on His goodness? We need favor that matters today, guys. I want you to stand to your feet. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I give you my word, I won't embarrass you, but if you're here today and you don't know Jesus,
thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.